Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do, eh?
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Michael Egan. Michael is the owner of Michaelity Mushrooms and grows mushrooms here locally. Michael, how did you get started in the business of growing mushrooms?
Well, it started, I was doing some row crop farming. I did the agriculture program at College of the Redwoods and then got a soils degree from Humboldt State. Was just doing row crop vegetables and kind of realized that it's a niche market to farm in Humboldt County where most of the vegetable farmers have been here and been at it for years. So I kind of looked at wanting to farm, wanting to stay in the area and what wasn't being filled. Definitely mushrooms was one of the markets that nobody was doing. So I started my last year in HSU. I took the mycology courses and I did a weekend seminar at a cultivator's up in Washington. And from there, I just kind of fell in love with it instantly.
Now, were you a person who went foraging for mushrooms?
So
you've done that? Definitely.
You know, seasonally, I love the chanterelles.
Uh-huh.
I love the black trumpets.
So there's some species of mushrooms that are better adjusted for growing commercially?
Definitely. And a lot of the wild ones that we pick locally haven't been commercially grown at all. Chanterelles, they're just starting to figure it out. Boletes, they haven't grown. The black trumpets, they haven't grown. With, I guess, the exception of the oyster, which is the one that grows on anything. Shiitake, which is primarily the bread and butter of my operation, is native to northern Japan and Taiwan. So,
now, you worked for a while. Is it Fungi Perfecti?
Well, that's the guy I learned from up in Washington, Paul Stamets.
Because I know. I've seen the kits, the mushroom kits,
sure,
where you can take the mushroom kit home, soak it with water, and then spray it with water, and then get some mushrooms to come out of it.
Those little kits expanded 1,000 times is what my operation looks like. My greenhouse is just filled with an individual fruiting unit, which is one of those fruiting kits. So every week I'm doing anywhere between 500 and 1,000 of those little fruiting kits. And then I choose which species I'm going to grow. Shiitake, lion's mane, nameko, reishi, maitake, those are all grown on the same sawdust block. And then when I go into the lab, I can choose which seed I'm going to replant.
Once you've started doing this, you're not dependent on anybody else for getting your starts?
No, I have all my cultures. So I have two facilities, a laboratory facility, which is about 2,000 square feet, and I do the sterilizing the media, inoculating, which is choosing my seed, and then the first vegetative stage of the growth, about 8 weeks, all happens down at the lab, which is out in Fairhaven. And then the fruiting house is 1,100 square feet, and that's the greenhouse where the final production of the mushroom occurs. It's humidity regulated, not temperature. We just kind of base it on the environment outside.
I imagine your greenhouse is, these are vertically somehow arranged so that you make the best use of the space.
If you could imagine it like one of those old bookcases in a library where I move my ladder. My greenhouse is 12 feet tall. My rack system is 10 feet tall. So all the way through, there's 8 racks per unit and they're 50 feet long.
How many different varieties do you have going at the same time in the same greenhouse?
Anywhere from 4 to 5, depending on the seasons. The oyster and the shiitake are my main ones that go year-round. And then in the summer, as it warms up, I'll do the lion's mane, the reishi, which is a medicinal mushroom, and the maitake. And then in the winter, I'll do enoki and nameko, which are much colder, loving species.
And you had said that some of them grow better when it's warmer. So you grow those species in the summer, mostly, because it kind of saves on your energy.
Yeah, I don't want to run a heater. I don't want to have the cost of running a heater. An electric in such a humidity-driven environment is dangerous. There's definitely problems that arise using heaters. With a propane heater, you get a lot more carbon dioxide buildup, which affects the actual mushroom production. The ambient air temperature here in coastal Humboldt County is absolutely perfect for growing mushrooms. So
I
don't fortunately have to do much. Had I located into Willow Creek where it's 110 in the summer, there'd be no way around it.
You'd have to cool it down
definitely.
To have it comfortable. Now, you know, we always hear that mushrooms are covered in animal manure,
sure,
and raised in the dark. But I'm understanding that your growing situation is a sterile medium. How do you do that?
The white button mushroom and portobello mushroom are all dung-loving mushrooms. They're all grown in manure-based substrates.
Okay.
The shiitakes are all wood decomposers. So I'm growing specifically wood decomposers. What I do is get the byproduct from a firewood company. He makes all the sawdust. It's a byproduct for him. I taking that sawdust, sterilizing it, and turning it into an agricultural commodity.
And are they hardwoods? Are they?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. There are a few species that can be done on fir softwoods. So it's all hardwood. Primarily tan oak is what I'm growing on. All the oaks, fruit trees work well. Alder is great.
You have quite a large facility, both for your lab and for your greenhouse.
Uh-huh.
How much are you producing?
I do it about 800 pounds a month right now, close to 10,000 pounds a year.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel like I've anywhere saturated the market.
And your capacity with your current location, you feel like you still have room for growth?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And at the end of my whole process, I compost the blocks and have mushroom compost as a byproduct.
Oh, that's great.
Gardeners love me too.
Oh, I'll bet they do. I ran into you personally at the farmer's market, and that's where we started talking about growing mushrooms. But if people want to buy your mushrooms, is that the only place they can get them?
No. I definitely sell my mushrooms at the co-op, Wild Berries. I do a lot of the restaurants in town, Hurricane Kate's and Tomo and Pacific Rim, Noodle House, Avalon at times, and demand depending. Farmer's market's definitely the most consistent place for me. I enjoy it.
And that's kind of nice, too, because most of your market or all of your market at this point is local, so you don't have to ship or prepare the mushrooms to be shipped and can keep them very fresh. So when you're buying the mushrooms at the farmer's market, they were alive.
Sometimes that morning.
That morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, no more than 2 or 3 days at the most from when I picked them to when they go to market.
Yeah. And I know with preparing mushrooms, that really makes a difference with the flavor of the mushrooms,
yeah,
how fresh they are.
Definitely.
Yeah. I like to have a nice fresh mushroom.
Yeah.
Now tell me about the medicinal mushroom.
Uh-huh.
What is that used for?
Just about every one of the species I've mentioned have some medicinal quality. Shiitake is known as an immune stimulator. It increases your killer T cell count. So generally, overall, enhances your immune system ability to fight off viruses and bacteria. Reishi is also an immune stimulator, good for the autoimmune system. Used in fighting cancer research. A lot of these are just now being studied by the FDA. I know UCLA School of Medicine just within the last 2 years did a medicinal mushroom survey and study. The lion's mane is good for regeneration of nerve cells, which is one of the few, if any, of other organisms that they found that does that. They're doing Alzheimer's and Parkinson's research with it. The oyster is a cholesterol reducer. So there's a whole slew of medicinal benefits.
I didn't realize. I thought that there were certain mushrooms that were medicinal and some that were more culinary, but I didn't realize there was so much crossover.
Yeah, definitely. And then on a nutritional basis, the protein account in mushrooms is phenomenal. Say shiitake is like 14.5% protein.
And mushrooms seem to take on flavors of food really well.
They're little sponges. You think they're 70% water. So if you can reduce the amount of water and then rehydrate with a sauce of some sort.
Drawing wine or drawing butter and drawing.
Yeah, exactly. A little red wine on top of shiitake and then a flash fry for fettuccine pasta or something like that.
Sounding delicious.
Sounding good.
Especially around the lunchtime. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking to Mike Egan.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.